Welcome to the CIDP edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the CIDP community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the 2024 Muscular Dystrophy Association's Clinical and Scientific Conference in Orlando, Florida. Our guest today is Dr. Shafiq Karam, an adult neurologist at the University of Pennsylvania Neuromuscular Division. Originally from Lebanon, Dr. Karam is an expert on chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy, also known as CIDP. Before joining UPenn 3.5 years ago, Dr. Karam was with Oregon Health and Science University in Portland, and before that, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Our subject is CIDP. It's a disease that not too many people know about, and it's one that we recently started writing about. Could you give us a description of the disease and what its symptoms are?
Yes, CIDP, which is chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy, is an autoimmune neuropathy that affects the nervous system, so the peripheral nervous system, and it's a treatable condition. It usually affects the myelin sheath rather than the axon, and that's why it's good to treat it early to prevent secondary axonal loss and permanent nerve damage. Symptoms of this condition include difficulty walking, difficulty with dexterity with small, with fine motor movements, difficulty climbing stairs, numbness and tingling in the hands and feet, and so forth.
Who is likely to get this disease?
This condition can affect anybody, basically, from the pediatric to adulthood. Most of our patients are probably diagnosed between the age of 40 to 60, but we know that the incidence of this disease goes up with age.
Are there any ethnic or geographical considerations or variants in the prevalence of the disease?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. And it's frequently misdiagnosed as something else, right?
It is frequently misdiagnosed, overdiagnosed, and underdiagnosed. Going back to your question, men are slightly more affected than women, by the way. Now, in regard to the diagnosis, misdiagnosis, there's no blood test that you can do that can confirm the diagnosis, so that makes it a little complicated to diagnose. We rely on the symptoms that the patient experience, the examination, which points to a peripheral nerve disorder, meaning that there's loss or reduction of the reflexes in the arms and legs, there's weakness and loss of sensation in the arms and legs. We rely heavily on nerve conduction study, which show evidence of demyelination by showing slowing of the nerve conduction velocity, prolongation of the distal latencies, conduction block and temporal dispersion, along with increase in the F-wave latency. Sometimes we can do a lumbar puncture, which would show increased protein with normal cell count. We call that albumocytological dissociation. And more recently, we've been doing MRIs of the nerve and ultrasound. In very rare occasion, we can also do a nerve biopsy, but this is really reserved to cases that where the diagnosis is not straightforward.
In the presentation, you mentioned that overall prevalence is estimated at 2.81 cases per 100,000 people, and that it's twice as likely in males as in females.
Yeah, the range varies depending on the study, but that's probably around the average looking at all studies. Men are affected commonly more than women, twice as much as possible. It's probably a little bit less in my experience.
I see. And we understand also that about 18% of patients have acute onset CIDP, which develops more rapidly and causes considerable weakness within 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's actually one of the challenges with this disease. So these patients who present acutely can be diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is usually correct. However, they have relapses after you treat them and they get better, they get worse again. And then in certain situations, they keep coming back and being treated. But the right thing to do is just to keep them on treatment until they get better and to prevent any relapse and permanent nerve damage.
Now, since there's no known accurate biomarker, how do you diagnose the disease correctly?
Yeah, we just mentioned that. So there are criteria to diagnose, guidelines, there's several of them. But basically, they rely on a combination of things. I mentioned the physical examination, which will show weakness, loss of sensation, and reduce or loss of reflexes. And then you have the nerve conduction studies, which shows evidence of demyelination, as I mentioned earlier. And then you can do some additional testing if necessary, such as the lumbar puncture, imaging with MRI or ultrasound or biopsies.
Now, between a third and a half of all patients diagnosed with CIDP actually may have something else.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is correct. Probably a bit higher than that.
Higher than that. So let's talk about therapies. We know that there are some therapies that are recommended for the treatment of CIDP that seem to work. Can we talk about that? What's out there to help you?
Yeah, so there's currently three types of treatment that are proven in clinical randomized clinical trial to help patients with CIDP. The first one is plasma exchange. The second one is corticosteroids. And the third is immunoglobulin.
And what about the efficacy of these treatments?
These treatments are typically efficacious in this disease. Actually, I tell my fellows and residents that we're teaching that if patients don't respond to these, you have to revisit the diagnosis. Now, you do have cases that are resistant to treatment. Probably around 10 to 20% of patients will be resistant to any of these type of drugs. So then you would go to second line therapy such as rituximab or cyclophosphamide or other type of immunosuppression, although the evidence for those is lacking, and we rely on case series and our personal experience to administer these treatments.
How many patients do you treat?
Personally, I probably follow around 75 patients with this condition, but in our center, we probably follow around 300 patients.
And is this considered one of the largest centers of treatment in the country?
Yes, University of Pennsylvania is one of the largest centers for CIDP. It's actually one of the CIDP Guillain-Barré syndrome centers of excellence.
Uh-huh. So there is treatment, there is hope. It's not like there's nothing that can be done.
No, it's one of the treatable condition in neuromuscular disorder, and if you treat people quickly and early, you can get them really good and back to their baseline. If there's a delay in the diagnosis and delay in the treatment, or if the patient for some reason have a very aggressive form of the disease, unfortunately, there could be some permanent nerve damage. But typically, if you treat these people pretty quickly and adequately, you have a very good recovery.
And do they have a normal lifespan?
Yes, this does not affect the lifespan of patients.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Dr. Shafiq Karam, a professor of clinical neurology at the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you very much for your time.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.